today.
This is Free Talk Live. We're kicking off Hour 3, Wednesday edition. Your show, you take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever you want. 1-800-259-9231 is the number you'll need. That's the Packet 8 toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Again, that number, 800-259-9231. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features there completely free. That is freetalklive.com. We start things out this hour. We're going to come back to abstinence, but we're going to keep going with the phone calls here. Dave in New Hampshire, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Dave. Dave in New Hampshire? Dave in New Hampshire going once, Dave in New Hampshire going twice. Let's try Matt in Illinois. Matt, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Matt.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, doing great. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to tell you guys that I don't believe either one of you are going to hell.
Okay. Thank you. Well, that's refreshing. Where am I going?
Well, I don't believe that God really cares whether or not you believe in Jesus. All he cares about is how you treat other people. And I'm sure that you guys treat other people very, very nicely.
Do you think that God does send some people to hell?
No, looking into the phenomenon of near-death experiences, I've seen a couple of people who talk about a hellish experience, and then they ask for God's help. God lifts them out. I think it's a phenomenon that that may have happened to a couple of few people.
Hell?
There's something about that there. I think you better do your own research because, you know, it's hard to explain.
Wait. Are you talking about hell or near-death experiences?
I'm talking about near-death experiences.
Science has pretty much found that they've looked at the near-death experiences, and they've pretty much found that it's just a product of your brain. When you're in that particular state that the people who are experiencing those things are, it's just simply their brain. It's a natural thing that happens to a lot of people. And, of course, the religious out there attribute it to God or attribute it to being on the path towards their next life. But really, it's just a scientific thing.
I've looked into that part of it also, and that's a little iffy, too, the way that they're doing their experiences and what people who have actually had near-death experiences say, there's differences. There's small amounts of differences. I know the scientific experiments you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
but there's differences there.
Okay.
It's a matter of belief, too. I mean, you know, it's
I would say
what I believe, and I've looked into all kinds of angles on that. But also,
just to clarify, you think that as long as you're a good person, you'll end up in heaven or whatever it is?
I think there's more to it. I think heaven and hell is oversimplifying the afterlife experience.
Are there different tiers, like in Dante's Inferno? Or, I mean, how oversimplifying are we doing it? I mean, what's the reality?
All right, the people that have talked about hell explain hell basically as a lack of God, a lack of spiritual being. You're separated. You're away from a deeper spiritual experience.
That's what the people
That's the people who have experienced hell, have experienced hell in their near-death experience. That's how they explain it.
Oh, I've never actually heard of anyone experiencing hell in their near-death experience. I've always heard it's just that sort of tunnel with the light at the end sort of thing.
Oh, no, there's a gentleman who wrote a whole book on it. One gentleman wrote a whole book, and then there's several people who had a very similar experience.
Right, now there are also people who claim they've been abducted by aliens. So just because there's a number of people out there claiming something doesn't mean it has any sort of validity whatsoever.
Yeah, but the people who were claiming to be abducted by aliens were sitting in a hospital bed actually declared dead at the time. There was nobody there to actually witness.
Nonetheless, the motivation could still be the same. They could have still had the people in the hospital bed, no doubt, had some sort of traumatic occurrence, and perhaps, you know, they really were near dying. But nonetheless, they may have come out and realized that if they had an experience, then they're going to get maybe a little press attention. They're going to get held up by their peers. People are going to pay attention to them.
Somebody might buy their book.
They're going to be interesting. So there's a lot of other factors that go into play here. Just because someone's claiming something doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
No, you're right. I'm not even going to argue with that. That's here again. I already explained. This is just a belief. And,
oh, sure,
you know,
sure.
You asked me to go into more detail, so I was.
Absolutely. So what else did you have, sir?
I was listening to Alex Jones' show yesterday, and there was a woman from New Hampshire who called in,
mm-hmm.
and she was homeschooling her kid, and she was having problems. Apparently, one of her neighbors called on her, and the DCF, the Department of Children and Family Services out there, I don't know what their name is in Illinois. That's what
I don't either.
They came out to her house and were threatening her with jail.
For homeschooling?
And I thought that was interesting because it was coming out of New Hampshire.
Yeah, well, there's a DCF everywhere, and they're probably all a bunch of intrusive bureaucrats, know-it-all, mommy government types. You know, I'm surprised that I actually have not seen that story. I thought I saw something somewhere, but maybe it just didn't catch my attention. And I'll see what I can do to find the details on that, because that certainly sounds very outrageous. And thank you for bringing it to my attention, sir, and have a great evening. Thanks for the call. 800-259-9231. Let's see if we can dig that up maybe during the next break.
Okay.
Find out what that's all about.
I've got no shortage of stories I'd like to talk about, so.
Indeed, but we're going back to the world of abstinence. We had cut off where we had stopped the conversation last hour when we got in a bunch of phone calls. We were talking about the Assistant Secretary for Children and Families and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services defending the abstinence-only approach for teenagers, because last hour there's been a study that's been done that reveals that Americans, the super, super majority, 95% of Americans, have sex before they get married. And, of course, that just essentially nullifies the government's claims that abstinence programs do anything at all to keep kids away from sex.
I believe, actually, that what it's saying is that 95% of Americans have had sex outside of marriage, not before marriage.
Well, this says before marriage. That's what it says in the study. Anyway, let's say what the excuse is here from the Department of Human Services as to why the abstinence-only approach is a good idea. He says, one of its values is to help young people delay the onset of sexual activity. The longer one delays, the fewer lifetime sex partners they have, and the less the risk of contracting a sexually transmitted disease. He's right about that. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't have sex until I was 22. And that means that if I'd had sex every year before I was 22, higher chance of getting an STD, higher chance of knocking some girl up, for sure.
Oh,
but,
I think there's more to it than that. I think that a person that waits longer is less likely to be promiscuous, especially girls. If they wait, you know, a little longer in life, they build some respect for themselves.
Maybe
they're less likely to be promiscuous, and promiscuity is what is really going to bring on sexually transmitted disease.
I'm not denying what it is that this guy's saying, but the fact that they're out there teaching abstinence and nothing else means that for the 90%. Or 95% of Americans that do have sex before marriage, they may be having more risky sex. Now, even if it's true that that he's saying that they just want to delay the sex, that they know that the kids are going to have sex, but they just want to delay it as long as possible, even if that's true, that still doesn't mean that they aren't going to have risky sex at age 20. Or when age 21, whenever
right.
they get the chance. They're out in college at some drunken frat party or something like that, and they get the opportunity to have sex. They're going to probably be taking a few risks in that particular instance. And that's why people like me are concerned about these abstinence programs, because there's just no education as far as how to have sex safely, understanding what you need to know. And, of course, I don't think it should be the government's responsibility to teach these things at all. I think it's American parents that are really dropping the ball here. But he insisted there was no federal mission against premarital sex among adults. Absolutely not. The Bush administration does not believe the government should be regulating or stigmatizing the behavior of adults. Well, maybe not regulating them, but nonetheless, you do have a program for up to 29-year-olds, sir. There's a federal government outreach program for people in their 20s to encourage them to be abstinent. Which I think is absolutely nuts. I mean, it's crazy enough to think that teenagers are going to keep it in their pants, but at people in their 20s? Horn says he found the high percentages of premarital sex cited in the study to be plausible and expressed hope that society would not look askance at the small minority that chooses to remain abstinent before marriage. Askance meaning like they're weirdos? Because I think it's a strange decision, and I think it's a little bit unhealthy. But if that's the way they want to live their lives, that's their business. 800-259-9231. You take control of the airwaves. Abstinence, good idea or not so great? This is your show, or whatever's on your mind goes. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients. Is earth-friendly and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You take control of the airwaves toll-free 800-259-9231. That is 1-800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site completely free. That does include live streams. There's a broadband version of the show there for you, and a dial-up version as well. Both of them for free, freetalklive.com. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, the Free State Project's New Hampshire Liberty Forum, attaining economic and personal freedoms in America's freest state. This three-day event, February 23rd through the 25th, will be held convention-style in historic Concord, New Hampshire, with some of the program taking place in the State House. Register now at freestateproject.org/libertyforum. That's freestateproject.org/libertyforum. There was an announcement today about another confirmed speaker for the Liberty Forum. We've recently announced Jim Babka, our friend from downsizedc.org. He's going to be there. But the new announcement is the head of the Marijuana Policy Project. So he's going to be in attendance.
That'll be great.
And I think that's pretty cool. We actually were talking about them last night on the show, in that this is an organization that's pushing for regulation of marijuana. Mm-hmm. They want to legalize and then regulate it. Obviously, I disagree with going to the regulation phase, so maybe we'll get him on the show. Rob Campia, I believe, is his name. And maybe we'll be able to get him for a few minutes and hold his feet to the flames.
You disagree. I don't disagree with him.
Oh, well, come on. You would prefer to not have regulation, right?
Right, but I would prefer that people not go to jail for possessing marijuana.
Right, well, we'll agree that far. I'll agree with him now on that part,
well,
sure.
And I would say that it's much more likely to happen his way than your way.
All right. Well, anyway, getting back to just a few more comments on the abstinence thing. The government defending its abstinence-only program, and in fact, Janice Krauss of Concerned Women for America, a conservative group which strongly supports abstinence-only education, says she was skeptical of the study's findings. Now, just in case you're just tuning in, the study found that over 95% of Americans have sex before they get married. She says, "Anytime I see numbers that high, I'm a little suspicious. The numbers are too pat." Well, Janice, what about you? When did you first have sex? Leslie Unruh, who runs a South Dakota-based organization promoting abstinence-only education, contended that increasing numbers of young people were open to remaining chaste until marriage. Look, Leslie, just because you're in front of a class of government school children and they tell you that they're open to the idea doesn't mean that they're actually being honest with you. And even if they are being honest, doesn't mean that their opinions won't change dramatically when they, you know, mature a little bit more in a couple more years or get more horny in a couple more years and then completely throw the abstinence thing out the window. So just because some kids raise their hand in a class doesn't mean you have a whole movement of people who are going to be abstinent for the next 10 years of their life. Anyway, that said, with your thoughts, 800-259-9231, since we're talking about things, these sorts of topics, why don't we switch over to the drug war and ecstasy? And what I consider a pretty fair article about ecstasy. Now, it hits it from both sides, and that's why I call it a fair article. It's not glowing, and it's not anti, but it is the Times Online from the United Kingdom. As the first wave of ecstasy users reaches their 40s, research suggests that the drug can cause long-term brain damage. This Christmas and New Year's, thousands will celebrate with a disco biscuit, a shamrock, a sweetie, a tulip, or a love drug. In other words, an ecstasy tablet. And these must be British slang terms for ecstasy, because I've never heard any of them.
Surprisingly, you're not going to get any Americans to take a tulip.
A surprisingly large number will be respectable members of the community in their late 30s and early 40s. Doctors, teachers, bankers, lawyers, keen to recapture the euphoria of the 80s when they danced until dawn with strangers in fields. But 2 decades after ecstasy energized the social lives of the rave generation, its biological legacy remains unclear. Long-term use has been linked to reports of brain damage, depression, and memory loss. None, however, have been wholly conclusive.
Reports.
As a result, views remain polarized. Supporters claim that ecstasy, a Class A drug, and over here I believe it's a Schedule 1 drug, has been unfairly demonized as part of the government's war on drugs, and point out that alcohol causes more proven harm. And they'd be right. They argue that it might be better to accept that people take drugs and provide data that allows them to make an informed choice. Anti-drugs campaigners, on the other hand, insist that illicit drugs can never be considered safe, and that brain damage to users remains remains a sinister possibility. Somewhere in the middle of the rumpus sits the science. Ecstasy, or 3,4-methylenedioxymethamphetamine, MDMA, floods the brain with serotonin, a feel-good chemical. Serotonin helps to regulate memory, sleep, libido, appetite, and temperature. The main focus of research has been what happens after the serotonin rush. Does the serotonin system shut down temporarily to recover? Does it ever recover fully? Does repeated ingestion wreck this balance? And if there is long-term term damage, Is it related to mood or cognitive ability? And can it be reversed? These are all excellent questions that I think deserve answers. But unfortunately, getting the answers to these questions is a task in itself.
Very difficult, because the government has made it illegal.
And that's right.
Once they say it's illegal, you can't test on it, because you might come back with some information that is somehow, you know, makes it look like we're silly for making it illegal.
Yeah.
I mean, what if one of these drugs actually help people, some people?
Yeah, what if it actually has some benefits? What if it's not all bad? You're right. So they won't allow the testing to be done. Though, to be fair, here in the United States, there are a couple of organizations that do have permission slips from the DEA to do some psychological-style testing on this drug. Nonetheless, for the most part, it's outlawed. Some of the earliest research, however, there have been some done, some of it underground. Some people just did their own research anyway. You know, they got themselves a batch of ecstasy and just did their own research. According to a forthcoming Radio 4 program that talks to the E Generation was conducted by Valerie Curran of University College London. She set up a makeshift lab at a London club and compared ravers on MDMA to partygoers on alcohol. Professor Curran found that while the drinkers suffered hangovers, the drug takers suffered a deep midweek low. A similar delayed bout of the blues was found in other studies, too, and the midweek low acquired the grim nickname Suicide Tuesday. Now, I'm curious as to the MDMA users in our audience at the moment, if there are any tuning in live here tonight, at 800-259-9231. How many of you have experienced the Suicide Tuesday? How many of you have experienced this midweek low, deep midweek low, as they describe it? I wonder what the amount, what the dosage is for the people, what they were taking on that weekend that would cause them to have this midweek low. Because in my experimentation, I've never had it. And my girlfriend and I were talking about this last night. We were sort of perusing this article. She's never had it either. Mark, I don't know what your experience has been.
It's minimal. A few times I've tried it, and I didn't have that experience either.
There's definitely some spaciness the day after. Like, you know, you're a little out of it the next day. But that is partially something to do with the fact that you're up all night, basically. And on drugs. But the midweek low? Haven't seen it. What was needed, though, however, was a detailed look inside the brain, and this led to a major drawback. Animals are much easier to study than humans. Many studies found that in animals, MDMA was neurotoxic, meaning it killed brain cells. But critics suggested that results could not be extrapolated to human beings. In most animals, says Professor Curran, ecstasy is toxic when it's injected in very high doses. In human research, the evidence for neurotoxicity is scant. So when the cops and the drug warriors tell you that ecstasy puts holes in your brain, maybe that's because it put holes in rat brains, but not necessarily in human brains. We're going to come back with more. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today, or visit tornadoair.com.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything. All kinds of fans, sheets, pillows. You name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helps. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot. No matter what the reason, you can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer.
Visit bedfan.com. That's bed, FAN.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You take control of the airwaves. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That is the Packet8.net toll free line for all your voice over IP needs. Packet8.net. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. Talking about the evil drug ecstasy, also known as MDMA, methylene dioxymethamphetamine. It's a pretty popular drug here in America, also overseas as well, popular worldwide, and for good reason. It feels good to take it. Of course, a lot of people wonder, well, are you going to be paying a price in long run?
I think good's subjective, and some people would say that have taken it would say no, it did not feel good, and I was not happy with the results.
To be fair, I did. There was the first time that I've ever puked on any sort of a substance. Not that I'm a psychonaut or anything. I haven't had a huge variety of substances that I've taken. But the last time I did MDMA, I did throw up a bit, and that was a little unpleasant.
That's not good.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it might have been because I didn't. There was weird. I got up in the morning and took it instead of taking it at night. And I think of the food situation. It's a tricky drug when it comes to eating. Like, you're not supposed to eat, but I wanted to eat, and so I ate something. Anyway, nonetheless, this is probably because there's no real solid research on how you should take these drugs. You sort of have to go with what other people have done.
Yeah.
But anyway, people are wondering as to, well, if it feels so good, is there some damage that's going on down the line? And regardless of what some people say, there are a lot of people that like the way it feels, and that's why they take it. So are you doing damage to yourself? There are studies that have been done, and in the Times Online in the United Kingdom is talking about some of them, pointing out that when you study MDMA in lab rats and animals, for instance, it can be neurotoxic in that it kills brain cells.
Now, sure, and you know, the thing is lab rats are very indicative as to how something's going to work in humans, primates, mammals, that kind of thing. They're very good, and they're easy to experiment on, and that kind of thing, but they're not foolproof.
True.
Like cats, for instance. If you experimented with aspirin on cats and only used that as your only indication as to how good aspirin was for you, this wonder drug lowers blood pressure, lowers heart pressure, you know, stops blood from clotting, gets rid of headaches and pains and all that other stuff. Aspirin, wonder drug. If you only tested it on cats, you'd say, this kills people. We must ban it.
Because it kills cats.
Because it kills cats.
What about dogs?
I think you can give aspirin to dogs.
I
am not a veterinarian. Please
don't
do not
give yes.
your dogs aspirin on Mark Edge's say-so.
Right.
I do not know.
Well, that said, it does kill brain cells in some animals. But critics say that you can't extrapolate that to human beings because ecstasy is toxic in animals when injected in high doses, which is another thing about animal testing. They love to really dose them up, right? They'll dose up a rat with a dose of ecstasy that a human wouldn't even take. So, no kidding, it's going to hurt the animal. Well, ecstasy, apparently, the evidence for neurotoxicity in humans is scant. Not only that, but researchers also reported the deaths of animals. If that toxicity applied to people, then clubbers should have been dropping like flies.
Right.
Which is apparently not the case.
No.
During the mid-80s, when an estimated 1 to 2 million people were taking, and this is in the United Kingdom, there's more people that were taking it in the U.S., so 1 to 2 million people in the United Kingdom were taking at least one ecstasy tablet per week, there were around 20 related deaths per year. Now, most of those deaths were attributed to overheating, hypothermia, even though drinking too much water, which lowers body temperature, or by adverse reactions between E and other drugs. As you might imagine, some people do a lot of drugs and we're popping quite a few. Ecstasy interferes with pain regulation, and some clubbers carried on raving when, in normal circumstances, they would have been too tired and would have stopped. Nonetheless, the deaths of young, middle-class adults, such as Leah Betts, struck a chord with the media, which seized on the stories showing ecstasy's supposed lethality. So, according to this, those 20 people dying per year, doesn't sound like any of them died because they overdosed. It was surrounding circumstances.
Amazing. People dying from drinking too much water.
One widely publicized paper claimed in 2002 that recreational doses could kill monkeys and cause diseases similar to Parkinson's. It was later discovered that the monkeys had been given methamphetamine, not MDMA.
Oh.
Whoopsie. The paper was subsequently withdrawn. Now, MDMA does have the word methamphetamine in it. It is related, but it is totally different. Ecstasy is not addictive in the crude way that heroin or cocaine is, but many users would find it pretty hard to party without it. The biggest recorded user is thought to have consumed 40,000 pills over 9 years. We talked about him. Earlier this year, doctors who examined Mr. A reported in the journal Psychosomatics that his memory loss was so severe he couldn't remember what was in his supermarket trolley and had trouble working out the time of day. Extrapolating from this, however, is fraught with pitfalls, not least because Mr. A, as you might imagine, and this wasn't mentioned in the article, as I recall, when we originally talked about this guy, Mr. A had also taken marijuana, LSD, heroin, amphetamine, solvents, that's huffing.
Oh my God.
You really want to screw yourself up? Huff some stuff.
Yeah.
And cocaine to top it all off. So, I mean, this guy was loading himself up with chemicals.
He's not exactly a control group.
No. Nonetheless, the psychiatrist studying Mr. A said that, quote, it might be an indication that daily use of ecstasy over a long period can lead to irreversible memory problems and other cognitive defects. And I would say that it's pretty safe to say that daily use of ecstasy is a bad idea.
I would say daily use of any drug is probably a bad idea. If you take
people that drink every day, just a beer or two.
But it's not good for your liver to drink every day, a beer or two.
Don't they say that it helps with heart disease or something like that? Or some sort of...
You know, there's all kinds of different studies on these things. I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea to have alcohol
anyway,
every day.
I would agree with you on that. And just in regards to ecstasy, though, it's... When you take ecstasy, when you take MDMA... At least if you're not a drug addict, if you're not an addictive personality, you'll find out if you take it again. Like, let's say you took ecstasy this past weekend,
mm-hmm.
and you really, really liked it, and you want to go ahead and take it again, which you might want to do after you've taken it for the first time. You might think, wow, you know, it was really great. Maybe I'll do it this coming weekend. Well, then when you take it again that soon, you'll find out that the results have diminished
tolerance
that quickly. You build a tolerance so fast with ecstasy. It's not like alcohol where you have to, you know, kind of build it up over over a period of time. It's fairly immediate, and it has to do with the period of time between your dosages. So if you and I've tried it, just so I know. I mean, I've experienced this. It stunk the second time when I tried it a week later, just to see what it was like. I just wanted to see what the drop off was like. It's not because I was a drug addict or anything like that. And sure enough, it's much better if you give it a few months between sessions. But an addict will take ecstasy and say, yeah, that was great. I got to take some more. And then he'll take another pill the next weekend and he'll see, hey, this man, this is so great.
I need two.
Yeah, I need two. I need four. I need 12.
Yeah.
I've known people that have done that. And that's a problem.
I don't know what it's like now, but in the 80s when they were selling these things, and that's back when they were still, I think, prescription. These were pills from prescriptions and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
MDA as opposed to MDMA.
No, MDMA was actually available in the United States, non-prescription. It was just available. You could just buy it.
I'm certainly not an expert in this area, but somebody was trying to sell me one when I was in high school for $25.
Wow. Back when it was legal?
Well,
it must have gone illegal at that point.
This was 1980.
Okay. 7, 8, 9. Right.
So, you know, $25. I can't imagine what they're going for now.
They're going for about 20.
Yeah. So the markets brought them down.
An inkling of this is found in the work of Dr. Michael Morgan, a psychologist at the University of Sussex, who's found that 2 years after giving up ecstasy, some users still show memory loss similar to early-stage dementia. Longer-term studies are needed, he says, but if people who quit 10 years ago are not okay, then this could have major implications for society. Exaggerated scares have served only to cloud the debate. Quote, it's media misinformation, and it's been very much influenced by the whole political approach of saying no to drugs, which doesn't work, according to Professor Curran. Drug use is almost normative nowadays in the 18 to 30 age group, and she's right about that. It's very widespread. Most will take the drugs for a while and come through at the end and have no problems. They are a completely different population to drug addicts, which is something we talk about time and time again. The difference between a responsible drug user and a drug addict. More's on the way. This is your show, Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it's possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wristies is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wristies provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and makes a great stocking stuffer. Honest, Wristies provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wristies now at wristies.com. That's Wristease, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, wristease.com. Once again, wristease.com.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Only moments remain and miss the Wednesday edition. But still enough time for your call. If you make it now, 800-259-9231. You can talk about ecstasy or whatever is on your mind. 800-259-9231. That is the Packet 8 toll-free line. We are talking about ecstasy, also known as MDMA, and it's that's more accurate term for it. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features there completely free. We do ask that you voluntarily support the show, however, by amping Free Talk Live. Head over to amp.freetalklive.com. Stands for advertise, market, and promote. And essentially, the idea is simple. You send us $3 a month. We promote Free Talk Live. In return, we get the show on more radio stations. If you think it's important to spread the message of Free Talk Live, to spread the message of freedom and liberty around the world and around the country, then the AMP program is the way to go. In fact, over 300 of our listeners have joined the AMP program so far at amp.freetalklive.com, not only because they want to help the show, but also because they want to get their hands on a few perks. We do have classic archives that we offer them for free, plus also the amplifier-only call-in lines, amplifier-only forum, and more. amp.freetalklive.com. Learn more about it. Get signed up. And is there a little person that's important to you this Christmas? Well, give them Financial Literacy for Christmas. It's A Kid's Journey to Getting Rich by Jewel Thornton, and it shows kids how to grow up financially free, save early and often, and how to develop passive income streams, the key to financial freedom. It's a great stocking stuffer, and I'm wondering if it'll still be shipped to you free by Christmas.
I'm thinking today is the...
or not free, but you know, shipped to you by
Christmas. Shipped to you in time for Christmas. I'm thinking that today is probably the last day that you can...
TikTok.
Yeah, sign up. So
like
really
today, as in the next 2 hours?
Get it done.
Okay.
Get it done as quick as you can.
Check out A Kid's Journey to Getting Rich at akidsjourney.com, and if it doesn't make it by Christmas or you order it too late or whatever...
It's still more valuable than anything else you're going to get that child for Christmas.
Yeah, it's
going
to be way better than Barbie or Transformers, much as I like Transformers. So we're talking about ecstasy, MDMA, the Times Online, talking about a study, or I guess sort of coagulating or coalescing several different studies and reporting on what people have found over the years about ecstasy. And the fact is, it's been used by millions of people, and very, very few people comparatively have suffered death as a result of it. What we don't know, and the deaths are tangential to ecstasy more than they are direct results of taking the drug. But what we don't know is the long-term effects. We're not so sure about what's going to happen to people 10, 20, 30 years down the line.
Hard to say.
So, apparently, work by...
And how much you have to take in order to get these those results, whatever they might be.
Instead of taking a moral view on ecstasy, Professor Curran says we should accept that people are going to take drugs and say, here is the science, here's the risk-benefit profile, it's your informed choice. Instead, we're in this crazy world where everything is pushed underground and drugs are put in the hands of criminals.
Right.
I'm not saying we should legalize ecstasy. That's a big step. And I don't know why she isn't saying that. Why aren't you saying legalize ecstasy? It's the best step. It's the sensible one.
You know, there are the fact is, there are drugs out there that some are better than others. It's just the way it is.
Yep.
Some drugs are much more destructive to the human body than others are.
Absolutely.
And because we keep them all illegal and we treat them all the same, the ones that are better for you don't have a chance to, you know, people don't use those.
And we'll never find out how they can really help, how they can help people.
I mean, we all know what happens to people if they drink too much alcohol in their lives. I mean, they, you know, they die young.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we know that some drugs are better than others. Like, for instance, Dilaudids, from what I understand, you know, this is, I have...
It's pain medication.
Yeah, I've talked to some, two different physician's assistants on regarding this, and, you know, basically, Dilaudids have no side effects or anything like that. The people that have a that, you know, take them and shoot them or whatever they do with them,
mm-hmm.
there's really no side effects. Well, if all drugs were legal, people would stop taking the dangerous ones, and they would take the ones that were less dangerous. And there would be fewer side effects to people taking drugs. There'd
it's
be fewer overdoses.
Not to mention all the other benefits we always talk about, that less crime, less violent crime. We talked about that actually last night, how police have estimated that violent crime would drop by at least 60%.
It's 60%.
At least.
It's got closer to 85%.
Work by Professor Curran shows that, she also points out that in Holland, where there are coffee shops, there haven't been any major disasters through making cannabis available. Work by Professor Curran shows that volunteers given ecstasy perform about 10 to 15% worse on memory tasks than those given a placebo, but the impairment vanishes after 6 hours. So once the drug is done, then they're back to what essentially is normal. She says if you look at people who've given up for a year, there's very little evidence of damage that persists. She adds that studies trying to link cognitive damage to ecstasy face a substantial hurdle. Because users also tend to use other drugs, researchers have to be sure that any cognitive deficits are not due to those other drugs. So you got she's saying it's really tough to research this.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Curran says 99% of people that use ecstasy use other drugs. So if you want to study memory loss due to ecstasy, you have to find a control group that takes all those other drugs, such as cannabis, but not ecstasy. It's difficult. We had to go to South Africa. Hardly anyone in the United Kingdom who has taken ecstasy has not used other drugs, and that makes other studies problematic. Because of these attempts at finding controls, Professor Curran is pretty comfortable that her results, that there is little little proof of long-term damage through recreational ecstasy use, are reliable. Now, interestingly, Dr. Morgan, a different doctor, thinks that the ambiguous findings on the drug's long-term effects might be due to a simple study flaw, not separating out men and women. He says that early indications suggest that women may be more susceptible to psychosis after the long-term use of psychostimulants, such as ecstasy. I don't know. Is ecstasy a psychostimulant? I guess it...
I don't even know what that term means.
I guess it's psycho in that it affects your brain in a stimulant fashion. Okay, yeah. Although I've heard it described as an empathogen, more than it is a psychoactive drug. But anyway, ecstasy, or not psychoactive, but...
Psychostimulant is what he said.
Well, anyway, ecstasy, in contrast, men may be more susceptible than women to psychosis after prolonged cannabis use. psychosis? After smoking marijuana? I mean,
first time I've heard of anything like that.
Yeah, the fact that, like, if he hadn't have thrown that marijuana line in there, I might have said, okay, yeah, maybe that's the case. But by saying you can get psychosis from...
I would say that there's people out there who probably would just say that women are more likely to suffer from psychosis.
Period. Nonetheless, many scientists are frustrated. Mine's actually been suffering this week. Many scientists are frustrated that as the rave generation heads into middle age, the scientific picture on prolonged ecstasy use remains unclear. Professor John Henry, professor of accident and emergency medicine at the Imperial College in London and a renowned toxicologist, says, quote, I wanted to start research on the effects of ecstasy years ago, and they told me, don't be an idiot. I really think that if we had studied school children and found out who used ecstasy and then followed up with them to see what happens, we'd have the answers by now. And I think he might be right. But he was dissuaded from doing it. I think the consequences are that you've got 1 to 1.5 million people, remember this is in the United Kingdom, numbers bigger in the United States, who've been using ecstasy, who have lost 1 or 2 or 3 IQ points. Now, remember, he's completely hypothesizing here.
Right.
He has nothing to back this statement up. who've lost one or two or three IQ points, whose memories are not as good as they were, who are not employable in the same jobs. This is serious stuff. This is big. A million people with less cutting edge is an enormous belly blow to the country. Now, he almost makes it sound, he doesn't call for tougher restrictions, more enforcement, or anything like that.
What else could he be calling for, though?
But that sort of a statement, the idea that, well,
it
this is big.
Certainly leads to that.
This is bad. This is a bad drug. It's hurting the country. It's hurting productivity. Therefore, we need to enforce. We need to keep people off of it. And that's where we are today, and it's not working.
I'd say that we'd be better keeping people off of it by legalizing them. I mean, we've looked at the studies. In Amsterdam, it's the teen use of marijuana is down.
It's true. But it's not an excuse. What he's saying, even if it's true, and he's got nothing, he just said, remember, the first two words in that quote were, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that's his just imagination going wild. But even if what he thinks turns out to be true, it's not a justification for banning the drug. Otherwise, we might as well ban alcohol again, because last time I checked, alcoholics, you could probably discover that they've lost a few IQ points. That they've taken a bit of a hit mentally.
If you can show that, you know, something's destructive to the human frame, whether it's mentally or physically or whatever, you could ban just about anything.
Yeah.
You can ban chocolate, you'd be banning red meat, you'd be banning everything. I mean, it's not a reasonable jump in logic, people. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's my body. I get to decide whether or not I harm it.
So what we need to do is legalize ecstasy, legalize other drugs as well, allow people to do studies on them so we can really come to understand what it is we're dealing with here, what the consequences really are. And even if the consequences are really, really bad, that doesn't mean we go and make them illegal again. Because it's not going to stop people from taking them, and it's not going to stop us, and it's not going to stop the government from continuing to foist this insane war on drugs upon us. It's been Ian here with you.
And Mark.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow night online in the meantime at freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.